Welcome to Fresh Word, the radio ministry of Fresh Anointing International Church in Jamaica Estates, Queens, New York. We are a full gospel church with over 100 branches in 11 countries. More will be said about our ministry at the end of the broadcast. Here is our pastor and your host, Bishop A.O. Itiola, with a fresh word from God today.
Well, praise God. We thank God for each one of you listening to us in Radio Land. I'm going to take you into one of our services where I preached under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, and then I'll let you listen to what God said to our congregation there, and I believe He's going to bless your heart as you listen. Father, bless the people that listen to us today, and let their lives be changed by the power in the Word. In Jesus' name I pray. Now let's go into a service already in progress.
My message this morning is one that I have never heard anyone preach about in my 32 years of being a Christian. Very, very, very few books have been written about this subject. Yet it is a subject that you cannot afford to be ignorant of. I want to plead with you this morning to lend me your ears and feed on the table that the Lord has set and prepared for your freedom this morning. I'm talking on deliverance from ungodly soul ties. Deliverance from ungodly soul ties. We've talked a lot in the realm of deliverance behind this pulpit, but I have never stood before you in all the 5 or 6 years we've been in this church to preach on this topic. And I got so much to say, I hope I'll be able to have enough time to be able to do justice to this sermon. Deliverance from ungodly soul ties. Let me begin with some very simple definitions. Soul ties. Those are the two words you will hear again and again throughout this sermon. What is soul? Soul. Your soul basically is your mind, your intellect, your will, your emotions. Basically, it is the choice and decision-making part of us. That's what we call the soul. Then when we talk about a tie, soul tie, the Webster's Dictionary describes and defines a tie as meaning to attach, to bind, to fasten. Describes it as a bond or kinship or affection. So if I say I'm tied to a chairman, it means I have an affection for him. I like him. I have a bond with him. But it also, the word tie also carries another connotation. And it means to restrain from independence. And that's the area where we're going this morning. To tie means to restrain from independence or freedom of action or choice, to constrain by, as if, by authority, influence, agreement, or obligation. So when you look at those two definitions, it is very obvious that not all soul ties are bad. There are good soul ties, and there are bad soul ties. You can have a good attachment to a person, a deep affection for an individual, as long as it is within the confines of the scriptures. This can exist between a husband and a wife, parents and children, brothers and sisters in a family, brothers and sisters in the house of God. So there are godly soul ties where you say, you know what, my will, my intellect, my emotions are just attached to my wife or attached to my husband or attached to my brother. I just love my brother. I love my sister. There's nothing wrong with that. However, there are ties and there are ties. As you can tell from that definition. Because a tie can also mean to restrain from independence or to restrain from freedom of action, where your freedom of choice is taken away from you, where you are under constraint by some authority, by some influence, or by some agreement or obligation that you put your hand into. So when we talk about ungodly soul ties, we're talking about your mind, your intellect, your will, your emotions, and the choice and decision-making part of you has become restrained from independence or freedom of action and choice. When you're under ungodly soul ties, your mind, your will, your intellect is being ruled by some unbiblical authority, unbiblical influence, or unbiblical agreement. You'll be amazed how many people today are under that bondage. Well, God brought you here this morning so He can break every ungodly soul tie that you have with anyone or anything, living or dead. Everybody say, in the name of Jesus. Say, I claim this morning complete freedom from any soul tie to anyone, to anything, living or dead, in the name of Jesus. We can talk about godly soul tie, but that's not my focus. But let me give you one or two scriptures to prove to you that there are good soul ties. 1 Samuel 18, verse 1. We're going to be reading quite a few scriptures this morning. You're going to be blessed because this is going to be an eye-opener. I wish I knew this earlier in my Christian life. It will have delivered me from a lot of things. It will have probably helped me to enter into my destiny longer than I did, long ago. But when you are bound up and tied up and controlled, you don't see. And what you're supposed to enter into at 26, you probably enter into it at 56. What you're supposed to be enjoying at 20, you probably not enjoy it until you are 50. And I just prepared this message shaking my head that, Lord, well, it's better late than never. In 1 Samuel 18:1, it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit. Everybody say knit. With the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him. What does he say after that? As his own soul. There was a soul tie between them. Don't believe the homosexuals who tell you that they had a homosexual relationship. These people were pure. These people were clean. The Bible says their souls were knit together. And I'm sure you've seen friends in the world and even in Christendom who are like that. They're just close, intimate friends. Nothing sinful about them. They're just good friends. And you'll notice that everything that came out of their friendship was good. Everything that came out of their friendship was clean. Everything that came out of their friendship was godly. Another classic example we find in the book of Ruth, the first chapter. If you will turn to the book of Ruth with me, in chapter 1, verses 14 through 17, we'll read about two girls who were with their mother-in-law. And you'll see that one of them had a good soul tie with her. The other had no tie with nobody. And in verse 14, we read, and they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law. But Ruth did what? Clave unto her. Sometimes, you know, we've heard stories that mother-in-laws are horrible, mother-in-laws are bad, but it's not true in all cases. There are mother-in-laws that are wonderful women that just have a good relationship with their son-in-law, their daughter-in-law. And in this case, we find this woman had a beautiful relationship with Ruth, and it was a soul tie. How do I know it was a soul tie? Look at verse 15. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, don't tell me to leave you or to return from following after thee, for whither thou goest, I will go. Good soul tie. And whither thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. Where thou diest, I will die. Hey, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Good soul tie. And you know, it was a right choice she made, because ultimately, when you look at the genealogy of Jesus Christ, you'll find her in there. So it's good to have good closeness, good relationship with people, especially if it is within the confines of the scripture. Well, my focus is not that. My focus is the one that destroys you, the one that messes you up, the one that stops you from achieving God's plan and God's purpose for your life, the one that takes away the lordship of Jesus from you, and some man or some woman or something becomes the Lord over your life. So I want to break it up into three parts this morning. I want to show you the sources of ungodly soul ties. Where do they come from? How do they form? May I say this to you, that ungodly soul ties don't form overnight. It forms over a period of time. Same thing with godly soul ties. It doesn't form overnight. It's a process. It's a period of time. And then becomes stronger and stronger. The bonding becomes thicker and thicker. So we'll look at the sources. Probably give you about four or five. I wanted to give you more, but time I know will not allow me, so I had to reduce it. Then I'll show you the seriousness of ungodly soul ties. If you are tied to somebody or to something And it falls within that definition that I just told you that brings restraint upon your life and that steals your independence from you and takes freedom of action and freedom of choice from you. And the agreement and the influence and the obligation you have for them hinders you from being all you need to be in God. Then we got a big problem. So we'll look at the sources of ungodly soul ties. Many of you are where you are today and you can't move forward and you can't be what God wants you to be because of some man or some woman or even of some parents, believe it or not, or even of some preacher that manipulated you and controlled your life. And now you're so messed up. But the Lord will set you free this morning. I have that assurance from the Holy Spirit that you're going to be giving thanks after this service is over. Because everything that has had you tied up and kept you from standing in the liberty wherewith Christ has made you free, those things, God will have to deal with them for you in the name of Jesus. So let's start with the sources. And then we'll look at the seriousness. And then we'll end up with salvation from ungodly soul ties. What are the sources of ungodly soul ties? Number one, ungodly soul ties come from ungodly agreements and evil covenants. Ungodly agreements and evil covenants. What do I mean by that? Agreement, you know, is at the core of every relationship between two people. If you don't, how can two walk together except they be agreed? All right? So if there's no agreement, there's no walk. But the same thing when it comes to evil. Once you agree with somebody and it's an ungodly agreement and it's an evil covenant, then you form a soul tie with that person. And that's where the witches, they have a place that they call coven. The word coven comes from the word covenant. All right? It's actually a short form of covenant. You just remove the ants from the back of it. So you can form the same evil agreement with people that witches form with themselves. And you may not realize it. Especially if the person you form the agreement with is an ungodly person. You become tied soul to soul with that person. You know what the Bible says? Be not deceived. Evil communication does what? It corrupts good manners. So when you begin to hang around this dude whose life is not right with God, and you know his life is not right with God, or you know her life is not right with God, before you realize it, you begin to be like them. You begin to talk like them. You begin to walk like them. You begin to live a life as if you cannot do without them. And usually, it's the evil that prevails upon the good. Usually is the bad that overcomes the one that is good. So God says, don't be deceived. When you have an ungodly agreement and an evil covenant with someone that is evil, it's going to rub off on you and corrupt you. Singles, you're better off remaining single for the rest of your life than marrying a man and a woman that deep inside you, God doesn't give you peace about. I have a young man, very promising future. He brought to us the most beautiful lady I've ever seen in the United States. And he said, this is the one I want to marry. And we say, you've prayed. He said, yeah, I've prayed. You have peace? Oh, yes, peace like a river. He didn't know that was a river that would blow him away. Now, he married this lady, and they had a wonderful, beautiful, beautiful, handsome boy. But long before then, everything just broke up. And my wife asked him, he said, what's going on here? And he said, Mom, because he called my wife, Mom, I knew it. Even before we got married, I saw the signs. And I knew I was getting into a wrong relationship. But I liked her. I wanted her. And she got me. And now it's too late. The sorrow and the pain that both of them are going through, I cannot describe. Listen, single man. Listen, single woman. A broken courtship is better than a broken marriage. The signs that you see right now is God showing them to you. Did you hear, Bishop? Turn to somebody and tell them, don't look the other way. Don't look the other way. Don't look the other way. Many times we are so filled with love and we say, no, I want him by all means. Well, you'll get married and then the true color will come out. So please look before you leap. Or you might leap into a bottomless pit. Evil communication corrupts good manners. When you go into an agreement with someone that you know is evil, that is not living for God, back out of the agreement as quickly as possible. You know what the Bible says? Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? You want to go into a business partnership? If you can't find a Christian, go all alone by yourself. Because when you bring your own money, which comes from light, and it brings its own money, which comes from darkness, and you join both together for business, that business will fail. I guarantee it. I'm not cursing you. I'm just telling you pure scriptures. So now that things are not going on well, you say, well, he's bringing so much experience into the business. He's bringing so much this and that into the business. But he's bringing more into the business. He's bringing spirits that control him into the business. He's bringing spirits that are not subjected to the Jesus that you are subjected to. Maybe God is allowing me to say this because some of you have been praying about some business connection. This is the last you will hear from God. All right? If you want to move on, move on. You'll be back for prayer. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. I'd rather you go it all alone than you believe in prayer and fasting. He believes in going to see the woman in the Bronx and going to India to bring some talisman. How will both mingle together? And then when you go into business partnership with a person like that, the Holy Spirit wants to come in, demons that he invites wants to come in. And then there is war on your job, on your business, and you wonder why things may go well for the first 3 months. I assure you. I used to have a friend in this city. He never told me. I wish he told me. I would have told him not to. But, you know, people think they are very smart, all right? Came out of medical school, you know, got everything he needed and passed all the exam, got the board exam all taken care of. He found a super sinner. Yes, not just a sinner, a super sinner. This super sinner had a practice already set up, doing extremely well. And his eyes focused on it. And I said, come on, I know you're a very good doctor. Come on, be my partner. You don't do it. And he said, you know what? I'll sell you half of this and then we'll go into partnership. I wish he told me. And he said, what do I do? He said, you bring $400,000 in and then we'll do everything half and half from now. He went to the bank, got a loan for $400,000. He's still paying that loan till today. It's over 15 years ago. Everything collapsed. It was a big mess. It was a big fight. And he had to go start his own, which he should have done from day one. Look, if you can't find a Christian to join with you, then wait for a number of years until you're able to do it all by yourself. All right? Or until God leads a Christian to you. Because once you go into a soul tie with an unbeliever in business, you are looking for real, real trouble. Let me go back to my unmarried people. Proverbs chapter 22 in verse 24 and verse 25. Now, those of you who are still single and you are looking forward to walking down this aisle and you want me to pronounce you husband and wife, let me tell you who not to bring into this church. All right? Don't bring this one that I'm about to describe to you into this church. Don't go into a soul tie with this one that I'm about to read to you in Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22. If you are there, say amen. Verse 24, let's read it together. Proverbs 22:24. Read. Make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man thou shalt not go. 25, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare. See the word soul there again. See the word soul there. You see a man your first time together, and you go and eat at where do you go to eat? Red Lobster, and the lady who is serving the food is late, and he begins to use foul language, F word, S word, W X Y Z, and you look at him and say, well, he's just angry. He must be hungry. All right. He must be hungry. And then the next time also, you're driving on the highway. He's cussing out everybody on the highway, and somebody cuts him off. He uses a D word, and he says, how can he cut me off? Then he speeds and passes him and does like this and cuts him off also. And you say, yeah, we're in a hurry to go somewhere. That's why be explaining it away. God is opening your eyes and letting him do his thing in your presence. And you say, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. You know what's killing us and getting us into ungodly soul ties? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. It does. Oh, I'll pray him through it. Have you prayed yourself through yourself first? I pray him through it. After the man is through with you or the woman is through with you, even if they call prayer meeting, you will not be there. Ungodly soul ties. And once you make a soul tie with you know what I found out? To be with him is the easiest thing. To get away from him is the most difficult thing. And I'm going to tell you that in a minute. To be with him is easy. To get away from him. You know, you may even get away from him physically and still not get away from him emotionally and still not get away from him legally. Go ask people that have experiences with covenants with evil people. They will wish they didn't. They wish they didn't say yes. They wish they said no. Someone walked up to me and said, Bishop, I wish my wife would die. I said, you are going too far. I said, I don't know what else to do. Maybe something will run over her or something will happen to her. And he said, but the more I wish she will die, the more healthy she gets. With an angry man. Don't go. Maybe you came seeking for answer this morning. What other answer do you want? Did I talk to you yesterday or did I talk to you the day before yesterday? Haven't you been asking, how will I do it? How will I do it? What does God want me to do? You know what God wants to do? Don't go. Is he the only man in the world? Is he the only woman in the world? God has somebody for you. Bone of your own bone. Flesh of your own flesh. That will give you joy and peace. And by the way, look how pretty you are. Why are you selling yourself to this dog? Is it that there's no other man in the world? Is it that there's no other woman in the world that you have to die for this one and destroy your life for this one and go into bondage with this one? This one only wants to use you because of the money coming your way or because of the free house or because of the free food. Or because of the other one, which I won't go into behind the pulpit. You've seen the signs. And so, folks, ungodly agreements and evil covenants. You know, one of the fastest ways to create bondage is to establish a bond of secrecy with people. Easy to get into evil soul tie when you get into secrecy. You know what I mean? Don't tell anyone what I'm about to tell. You and that person are bound in an unholy tie of gossip, in an unholy tie of darkness. And that person can manipulate your life.
Well, praise the Lord. We thank God for the broadcast of today. I wish we had more time, but we ran out of time already. And we've got to stop here. But thank God there's another Saturday around the corner where we'll be able to finish this message. But the good news also is that you can get this whole message in one tape if you can just call our church. We'll let you know how you get this. The announcer will give you the whole details about how to reach us in the announcement momentarily. Before we go off the air, let's look up to God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the broadcast of today. And I pray that those that have heard us, the word will mix with faith in their hearts and do something fresh, something new, something wonderful in their lives. We thank you for the answer right now. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen.
Thank you for listening to Fresh Word, the radio ministry of Fresh Anointing International Church. Our church is located at 182-69 Wexford Terrace in Queens, New York. Our services are as follows. Every Sunday, Sunday school starts at 9:30 a.m. and worship service is at 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 7 p.m. and Friday anointing service is at 7 p.m. Every last weekend of the month, we hold a deliverance revival at 7 p.m. You are invited to join us in any of these services. We can be reached by telephone at 718-298-6034. That's 718-298-6034. Or by email at info@freshanointing.org. That's info@freshanointing.org. You can also learn more about our ministry by visiting us online at www.freshanointing.org. That's www.freshanointing.org. Till next week when we bring you another edition of Fresh Word, may God richly bless you.